Thanks for joining us, everybody. We're just going to do this in two parts, and we will be sharing communion at the end, so have that ready to hand as well. So what we're doing this morning, we're taking a bit of a break from the Beatitudes, and we're looking again at our vision and values. If you remember, Rich spoke a couple of weekends ago about family, and we're moving on now to look at the next value that we've got in our vision statement, which is about discipleship. So why is vision important? Why are values important? And you might have ideas yourself about what a vision is like. But one of the things I read, which was helpful, which actually said that a vision actually is like the glue that holds people, individuals of a group, together, who've got the same outcome and the same goal. And I thought, that's a bit like us as a church, isn't it? We want to become people who are more like Jesus. We've got the same vision and the same goal. And so our vision and our values hold us together in that and bind us together. So in looking at our value, we're looking at something that is worthwhile, something that we really feel is important. Now, you might have things in your life that are important. You might think, I couldn't really do without my phone, for example. And you value it, you hold it in respect, you know, you highly think of it. So what we're thinking about with our values is, what is it that we really, really value in our lives? So that's why we've got discipleship, following Jesus step by step, as being one of our values as Ithaca Church. And why do we want to follow Jesus? Why is it there? I think it's because it's a simple statement that Jesus called his own first disciples just to follow him. There was Peter, he just said, follow me. Then he went on and James and John, and he just said, follow me. And then Matthew, the tax collector, follow me. All that story is in Mark's gospel. And we just see that people just left what they were doing and they went and followed Jesus. And is following in his footsteps. This picture we got here is a picture that we took. I took on a beach in Portugal when we were there. I keep thinking about all the nice holidays I've been on, and I was thinking about this one. And you can see that this particular morning we were first on this beach, and it was called a paradise beach. And you can see that as Andy walked along, his footprints were in the sand, and I was just following behind him and took this picture. And I was just following where he was going, because he was going to the sea, but it was just a footprint. There was nothing else around. And it was so great just to be able to walk in that sand there like that. And I was just thinking, it made me think about following Jesus, how we just are looking out to put one foot after the other, following him. And Jesus himself actually told us, didn't he, that we should go and make other disciples as well. He said, follow me, but therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And I am with you always to the very end of the age. Just like we've heard a bit this morning, we've heard about the other nations. We've heard from Carl saying that, you know, God is with him. He's aware that God is with us as we follow him. So what I'd like to do with another piece of paper that you might have around, or two things. You can either do this thing. You can take your shoes and socks off or your sandals off if you've got any on. I'm sure there might be people around. And you can get your pencil and you can draw around your footprint. Draw around it. If you don't feel like doing that, you could probably use your artistic skills to actually copy this one. But the important thing is that you probably need five toes on it. And include your bunions and all that sort of thing and your corns. Stick here. Okay. So just draw around very quickly around your foot, and we'll be thinking about this a bit later. This is your footprint, your imprint. Great. Well, I don't know whether they're going to be works of art. I can tell you that mine wasn't really. It was a bit wonky, but we'll hold on to those because it's still my foot that I've drawn. Okay. So what does it look like to follow Jesus? What is following Jesus? Well, very straightforwardly, it's to be with him, to spend some time with him, to become like him, and to do the things that he does. So that all of that combined together helps us as we follow Jesus. And then we read in John that if we watch what the Father's doing, then we can become like him. That's what Jesus did. He said he watches what his Father does, and he does that. And I think that's something we can do. Just like we were watching Andy with the making the plane, we can watch what Jesus does and what he did, and then we can try and do the same. So in that case, sort of discipleship then as a church will help us in being who we are, both as individuals, but also how we behave, the sort of things we do as well. So we get this sort of progression that as we follow Jesus, as we spend time with him, as we become more like him and we do the things that he does, then we become more like him, and our church together and our community together can grow together in the same way. So we'd like to encourage you in that this morning. That's what this is about, is encouraging you in this value. But the good thing about this is that it's not all about us. It isn't about us. It's because this is God's work in us. It's the Spirit who is changing us from the inside out, if you like. And in Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, it says, "And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." So this change in us, because we do recognize that we do need to change, is happening because the Spirit is working in us. God himself is transforming us. So it's not so much about how much effort we try and put into this. It's not from ourselves. It's because he's doing it in us. So that's really encouraging, isn't it? That's an encouraging thing, that we can become like Jesus. We can become Christ-like. That's what God intends for us, that we are changed into his image. Now, I did hear a story the other day about a company which made drills. And they were looking for a sort of vision statement. And they thought they could say something like, it used to say, "We make good drills." But then they had a sort of brainstorm moment, I think, and thought a bit differently. And they decided that their vision statement should be, "We make holes." And I think they made a focus on the outcome of what their product was doing. And that actually changed the whole outlook of the company. And they ended up opening up different avenues. They started laser technology because they became focused on the outcome rather than what they were actually making to make the outcome, if you see what I mean. And I just felt that was really helpful picture about what we're trying to do, is actually we're trying to make disciples. And that's the outcome. We are ourselves becoming disciples. We are walking that path and we're making other disciples as we go along. So we are making disciples. And this is happening in our homes every day, wherever we are, whatever we're doing, we are on this path of making disciples. And it leads to many other things. Things like helping people, things like the community where we live. At the moment, it might be that we're involved with our neighbours in what we're doing with them. It might be because you help out at the Beacon. It might be because you help with the food bank. There's loads of things that can happen because we are making disciples and we're being disciples. So it changes our attitude a bit. So going back to footprints, this is another footprint picture in the sand. What's your imprint look like? What does your footprint look like as you walk through your life today and tomorrow? So just for a few minutes, you might want to think about that. Think about how you walk and where do you leave your footprints and the ways that you leave your footprint. So perhaps you'd like to put some of those things in the chat as we spend the next few minutes going forward. We're going to actually now listen to Gemma for a little bit, and she's going to tell us a bit about how she understands discipleship with her family, how she's understanding that. So while you're listening to her, you could probably be thinking about how you make an imprint as well. Hi, Gemma. Okay.
Hi. So why is discipleship important for me on my journey with God and fulfilling the Great Commission? It's important for me to have people around me that I trust, that I can walk with, that can walk with me through the good and joyful times, through hard times and also through challenges. I really value friends that will really speak into my life and nudge me towards having faith for different things in my life. I really value my discipleship groups for that and the leadership huddle that I'm in. All of those play a similar but look slightly different role in guiding my walk towards Jesus. And then there's the aspect of discipling others. I just wanted to share one little testimony of where I was just on a walk with a friend who was saying how she would like another baby. She already had two children. She would like a third, but for a couple of years they'd been trying and it wasn't happening. So I'd said I'd pray for her, and then I encouraged her as well to talk to God. She knows there is a God, but she's not made any commitment with her whole life to follow God yet. But so I encouraged her to talk to God and tell God her desires, that she would really like another baby. And it wasn't long, it was only 5 or 6 weeks. She messaged me very excited, saying that she was pregnant and God had blessed them, and she recognized that God had blessed them. So that's just a simple thing, just everyday conversation, looking for those opportunities to point someone in the direction of God and encouraging them to have faith. For my family, I wanted to read a verse from Deuteronomy 6:5-7, which says, "Love your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up." Some of the ways in our house that we do this with the kids is through bedtime stories, reading the Bible with them, providing time for conversation and answering questions. It's quite important. Praying with the children. Mark recently has had an alarm on his phone for 7:14. I think he got it from 24/7 prayer or Pete Gilbert or somewhere, but he's had an alarm set since the beginning of the coronavirus to pray for protection for key workers, for our families, to pray for healing, various other things. And so every day when the alarm goes off at 7:14 in the evening, the kids know exactly what we're doing. That's one way we're showing the children how to walk with God. what else do we do? There's different DVD resources we've used with our kids, super book ones they love. The Chosen, Rich Cummings put us onto that, but I haven't actually seen it myself, but Mark's been doing it with the boys and they've really enjoyed that. The Chosen, I can't tell you too much about it, but they will be able to tell you more. I think it's about Jesus's life, or like a TV, American TV show, but Lucas and Ruben have really enjoyed doing that with Mark. Worshipping with the children, Dougie Doug Doug is a favourite in our house, Bethel Kids, Hillsongs, and even good old Ishmael. Word of the day, kids Bible plans. That also allows for more time for conversation and answering questions. Other ideas I've heard from others, journaling as a family is one I thought about doing, but we haven't done yet. So yeah, that's a little bit what discipleship is looking like in our family. Thank you.
Thanks, Gemma. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Karina and Gemma. We're going to hear a few more minutes from Karina.
Oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless stand before the throne.
Know from John chapter 1, don't we, that Jesus was the Word of God. He was with God and he came and lived among us. He came and dwelt among us, as the Authorized says. He came and lived and sort of made his habitat with us as humans. And so he himself, as he walked this earth, that life shapes our lives. And we know that as we do that, as we look at him, as we use scripture perhaps to find out what Jesus was doing, what he did, what he looked like, we can look at the whole story of scripture tells us about what it looks like to follow in God's ways. And one of the quotes that I've read was from Juan Carlos Ortiz, who was an Argentinian pastor, and he said that discipleship is more than getting to know what the teacher knows, but it's getting to be what he is. And I was thinking about how that is actually becoming more like Jesus, but becoming who he is. He was the Son of God, and it's really great to know that God has actually made us his children. He's made us his sons and daughters. And we know that he is preparing to bring us to glory, as it tells us in Hebrews, that he's bringing many sons and daughters. He wants lots of Jesuses, if you like, to be with him. And so we are becoming like him in that respect. But we do know that if we look at scripture, we see some of the teachings of Jesus. And one of the stories that you might remember was about somebody who built on sand and somebody who built his house on a rock. And when the rains came, the house on the sand fell down. It wasn't very stable, obviously. But the important thing when Jesus was telling that story in Matthew chapter 7, he just says to them, it's important that you listen to what I do. But it says, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like the wise man who built his house on the rock. So it's not just about hearing, it's about putting into practice what we hear Jesus saying to us. So we have to respond. So we need a response. So how can we respond to the word shaping us? There's lots of ways we can do that, which I'm sure you in your heart know what you can do to respond. But some of those things can be in worship, they can be in prayer, they can be in listening to scripture, reading scripture, meditating, and sort of following the Lord's Prayer. Some of you I know have been following the Lectio 365, which has actually helped us in prayer and also as well led us through Pete Gregg's book about praying. And so we've got lots of resources, but prayer and being have spending time with God is important, and also to turn away from the things that we probably know that we've learned that are not right. So there's something about repentance in there as well. The other two things that Jesus was quite clear about was that we should be baptized. Now, I'm not sure how that would happen in lockdown, but there's a good question for you. But how could we be baptized? And also to sharing communion together, breaking of bread. So those things are sort of how we can respond to the word of God, the word of Jesus' life and the scripture actually shaping us. We've got some response. The next thing that sort of shapes us is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. We've talked about that earlier, saying how the Spirit transforms us. And he comes alongside us and changes us on the inside. And it's not just about perhaps rules and regulations, which sometimes it can seem like that, but it's about being changed from the inside, changing our desires, our wills, our hearts, like Rich was talking about last week, changing our hearts. It brings us to life. And Jesus said that the Holy Spirit comes to us like rivers of living water. He says, if you believe in me, you can have rivers of living water flowing through you. And that made me think of another holiday that I've been on in Madeira, where we came across some streams called lavadas. And they are sort of dugout channels which bring water from the sort of fertile side of the island to the dry side. And it's where the rains come and it channels the rain down into the dry parts. And it just made me think about how the Holy Spirit sort of channels himself through us into the dry parts. He brings that life-giving water of the Holy Spirit into our dryness. And then we can pass that on to others. It's another picture of a lavada. And moving on quickly from that, we can see about how the Holy Spirit can actually then help us in our prayer. We know from the passage in Romans that actually our prayer can be facilitated by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can come and help us pray. And then there's the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit. And so we can go on. There's lots of responses that the Holy Spirit brings about in our lives as we're shaped by him. And then life itself shapes us as well. We probably have talked this morning, haven't we, about some of the hard times that people might be facing. And we know that those times can shape us. It can help us to be dependent on our Father God. And the good times as well, when we can party and enjoy abundance. And how do we respond in those times? This, it's apologies to some of you I've told this story to, but this has been a real encouragement to me during lockdown, because lockdown seems to be a really hard time, a time when we perhaps wouldn't flourish. But a couple of weeks ago, I went into the shed and I found that I had put this amaryllis, which I'd been given for Christmas a couple of years ago, and it had flowered, but I just put the bulb in the shed and it had been in there for months. And when I looked at it, it actually had some growth, and actually it was actually growing and the flower was beginning to poke up. So I brought it out and put it into the light, and this is what happened to it. And there were four flowers on it. And I was so amazed that in this really hard, dry time in the shed, that it had actually flourished, and something was going on deep inside it, which was keeping it alive and was actually helping it store up so it could grow like this, even in the isolation of our shed and the dryness and everything else that happens. And it just made me think how encouraging that is, to think that during hard times, that God is at work in us still, so that we can still be flourishing, and that he can change us so that we are made more like him during that time. So the next thing is what shapes us as each other. I think it's been true to say that we were really made for relationship, just like God is made for relationship in him. He's the Trinity. he likes to be with others. He wants us to be with others. And just like Gemma said, that other people help her in her discipleship. And we know that others can shape us and help us as we walk together, as we walk along, leaving our footsteps as we go. So I think it's really helpful because other people can sort of keep us going. You know, before lockdown, this isn't a picture, any of these pictures I'm not in, I have to say. Before lockdown, I used to do something, aerobic sessions. And I used to go along because I used to meet people I used to know from work, and we used to have a chat, and then we used to have a bit of, you know, to encourage each other in the moves and things. And then that was it. But during lockdown, the teacher decided to just do this on Facebook Live. You know, and you can watch it anytime, and you can, but you're not really with each other. And of course, you can imagine that after a bit, I thought, oh, well, I won't do it today. I'll do it tomorrow. And then, oh, I'll do it. Well, you know, I won't bother. And I've sort of given up on that a bit. But another class that she does, she actually does it on Zoom, and it's Pilates on Zoom. And it means I have to key in, and she sends me an email, and she thinks I'm going to be there. And so I have to join in, and I feel much more committed to it because I'm going to be with her and I'm going to be with other people. And there's something about that, that we can help each other. We feel more committed as we do things with each other. And I think discipleship was actually made for doing together. It's made to be together, to in community. And the last thing is about discipleship is shaped by us sharing our lives, sharing what we've got, sharing and telling others about our love for Jesus and what he's done for us. And I was thinking about your five toes. So you've got these five things that shape your toes. But some of those things, a couple of weeks ago, we had the Thy Kingdom Come prayer initiative, if you remember, and there were five people that you could think about that you were praying for, who you wanted to come to know Jesus through the Pentecost time. So why don't you probably think about those five people again and put them next to your toes as well, and think about the shapes that you are making as you walk along. The other thing that's going on, if you feel you don't feel very equipped in that, you could join something like Living and Telling, which is a video series that we could link you to. It's sort of like a sessions over 2 days, and you can join in with this at the website. It's run in Devon through SWIM, and it's great because it actually helps give you resources to be able to share with others. What about your neighbours, your children, your friends, your colleagues, whatever at the moment that you've still got, you're in touch with? So back to our footprint. What is your footprint looking like today? What does it look like? Are there any bits that need a bit of improving, a bit more shape bringing to them? Any parts that need to be worked on a bit? So as we finish now, we're going to have some communion. And I think it'd be great if you actually thought about those areas that perhaps need a bit more work on. Perhaps you'd like to write it on your foot. Perhaps you'd like to turn it into a prayer as we come and remember Jesus, as we remember what he has done for us, how he has brought us life, how he has loved us, how he has shared his love with us so we can share our love with others, that we're known that we are disciples because we share love with each other. And